warm and friendly hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Cuscus Heaps with myself, Greg Heaps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you, as this is going to be the last podcast before you get picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, as we're going to be chatting in a few minutes with Ryan McIntyre. He does great work with the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We will take a look at a game or two with him. We'll get a little bit of a preview of the Arizona versus Florida game. That's one of the few games that, when we were doing the interview with them, was actually on the board. As I'm doing this super late Saturday night, the board is starting to fill up with games, and starting tomorrow, you're going to be getting picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So with Ryan, we're going to be talking about some of the things that he looks at from a betting perspective to begin the season. With that Florida versus Arizona game, we are going to be asking him a little bit about his handicap in some of these neutral court games. We're going to be asking some last second things that he looks at to just get set for the upcoming college basketball season. Few teams that he's bullish slash bearish on as well. So we're going to have a great time chatting with Ryan. It's going to be a great last conversation before we get set for the upcoming college basketball season. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you on this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Well, I did not get in any Twitter slash X questions today, other than just looking for some preview information, what have you. And I did do a specialized conference preview edition on this podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, for every single conference. So if you look down the playlist, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, list goes on and on. I know that they're a little bit spread out, but there is a conference preview podcast for every single one of these, albeit there are a few guys that change teams, because when you're doing it out of the upcoming college basketball season, that is going to just happen to you. But we got you guys all covered there, and anything that was not noted with regards to those previews, guess what? When you get the picks and analysis on every single game, every single day, those are going to be accounted for. So we are doing our best to get you set for the upcoming college basketball season, and a man that is doing an amazing job of getting set for the upcoming college basketball season, that'd be Ryan McIntyre. He does such a tremendous job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and he and Kobe Dant, who do the show, The College Experience, they are top-notch with regards to their evaluations of this great game of college basketball. You're able to follow them on the old Twitter slash X at Moneyline_Mac, spelled M-A-C on Mac. And Ryan, he is a guy that also does a great job with evaluating West Virginia athletics with the Ryan and Rush show. He is part of the West Virginia and South Carolina coaching staffs as well, so he has a great amount of information and a great amount of just knowledge on that front as well. So great man to be having our last chat before the upcoming college basketball season with. And Ryan, we are almost there, my friend. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
Greg, appreciate you having me. We're finally here, 72 hours from opening, actually less than 72 hours, because we get games at 8 a.m. Eastern. So let's go, man.
Absolutely. And we're starting to see some opening lines popping up as well. And I mean, how about if we do give you guys a game breakdown or two? Because, man, we are thirsty for it. It's been 7 months, and man, oh man, we could use them. But I mean, that Florida-Arizona game is one game which a lot of books do have a lineup as we're doing it, with Florida right around a 3.5-point favorite and total of like 159.5, 160.5. What do you make out of games like this where you've got a defending national champion in Florida, an Arizona team that certainly not chopped-livered, they made a run in the NCAA tournament, Tommy Lloyd has things rocking and rolling. How do you take a look at situations like that, especially with it being on a neutral court?
It's going to be interesting, Greg, because I like Florida's returning production in the front court. But I mean, if you remember, everybody saw all the shots that Walter Clayton hit during the NCAA tournament, Richard as well in the backcourt, and how that backcourt carried that group. So I kind of want to take the points with Arizona. Florida, new role here, being extremely the hunted, coming off winning a national championship. I like Tommy Lloyd in the regular season. So I'm going to take Arizona in the points. I also think this will be actually, I mean, I'm very confident to say that this is going to be an Arizona crowd with the game being out in Vegas. So you don't give them all the points that you're going to equate for if the game is played in Tucson. But between that and the BYU crowd, I think Arizona is really going to have a strong home court advantage here out in Vegas.
And I think that these are unique circumstances as well, because we've got ourselves, I think that it's fair to say, a pretty tight spread here. When do you decide to take the points in a situation like this? And when do you decide to take the money line? Because this is something that I always parse through, and I'm right now right there with you. I felt like Florida should be a very, very slim favorite, but getting north of three, it's one of those games where personally, as long as this line holds when I do my previews on Monday, I'm not necessarily going to take the money line, but I'm certainly going to be willing to take a 3+ here with Arizona.
I agree with you, and especially with that just being such a key number, being three. But, you know, honestly, 2.5 has become such a key number as well, just with how many teams now foul up three with under 10 seconds and miss free throws and the variance of that. So if I ever get north of two or north of three, I usually just take the points, Greg. And now on the other side, for the same reasons, I usually will just eat a little bit of juice and play the money line. Just because if you have a 4-point lead or a 5-point lead, how many times do we see it where we get a backdoor three at the buzzer to lose by one or two?
Yep, and I always do think that the tomfoolery that we see in some of these games is very prevalent, as well as Ryan McIntyre, who does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's joining me right here on Cusco Soups. And how much do you want to take a look at in these tight spreads like we're going to be getting with Florida versus Arizona free throw shooting? Because I think that that becomes so paramount, and I think that's one of the most overlooked stats in college basketball until it becomes very, very significant in the last 45 seconds, because you always look at all these game previews and they're talking about, oh, how's Boogie Flan going to be doing in the backcourt? How's the Arizona frontcourt going to be doing? And then in the final 45 seconds of the game, it's the chatter that everyone's talking about. How does player X, player Y shoot at the free throw line?
Yeah, ask John Calipari and Derrick Rose and that Memphis Tigers team.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, I saw that clip going viral the other day. And, you know, there's no Mario Chalmers shot and there's no Bill Self second national championship if Memphis just makes their free throws. So I definitely look at free throws. I think though more so when we get to March, just because every game is so tight within the number in February and March, just because we have so much data on it. I don't think the lines are as tight early on in the year, just because of the variance with the portal and just the roster turnover. Like we just talked about with Florida. Yeah, Florida's the defending national championship team, but they also lost their three horses in the backcourt. So all these teams are trying to figure themselves out, their identity. And then when we get to Feast Week, when these guys are playing back-to-back spots on less than 24 hours of rest, that's when you really get some blowouts just with whoever's a fresher team that day.
Yep, I do agree with you there, as Ryan McIntyre does such a great job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, and certainly that is going to be something of intrigue, and this is something of intrigue as well. We've talked a little bit with you about these exhibition results, how much, how little do we make out of them. What did you make out of about 48 or so hours ago, Georgetown winning by double digits against Kentucky? I know that there are a lot of like stats going viral, like this was the worst exhibition loss for Kentucky since they lost to the Soviet Union and things like that. And I had a good hearty chuckle about that, but how much stock do you put into it? Is it a big deal? Is it no deal? Or is it perhaps something to make you think a little bit about, but you don't overthink it?
I think also Kentucky may have been feeling themselves when they beat Purdue the way that they did, with Purdue being preseason number, I forget who's number one and two. I think it's them in Houston, based off of whatever poll you look at. But I don't look at it as much. I think that it's a learning experience for all these teams. Every coach treats it differently. I probably want to fade Georgetown in the next game, because I think you're going to get a couple points of inflation based off the exhibition result.
Yep, and I think that that's so well said as well. And I do think that Georgetown is going to be an interesting team. And really, that entire middle of the Big East, I'm fascinated by, because everyone has, in some form or capacity, UConn and St. John's as their number one and number two teams. Typically, Creighton has been clocking in at number three. But the teams like Villanova is going to have a big opportunity tonight, number one, against BYU. What are we going to be able to get out of Providence? That's a team that I'm high on. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Butler. Obviously, we just mentioned it with Georgetown. DePaul is no longer as sorry as they have been in past years. I think that that middle of the Big East, Marquette, they bring back a lot of guys. It's going to be interesting to see what those teams do.
Yeah, and I'm all for the Big East being dominant, because I love how they're just primarily basketball. So I think that we're going to see probably a five, maybe even a six-bid league here. I think the Big East continues to elevate itself. And you know why, Greg? Because they don't have to worry about paying their football teams. A lot of these programs don't have football programs or they just have FCS programs. So I think the Big East is going to continue to grow here in the basketball market.
Yep, and I think so as well. And is there maybe one or two of those Big East teams that are picked a little bit more towards the middle? So we're just going to throw out there outside of St. John's, UConn, and Creighton, because it feels like those are the big three coming into the year. Is there a team or two in the Big East that you're really bullish on? Because for me, I just keep coming back to Providence as a team that I really want to buy into coming into the season.
I want to buy into them too, Greg, but I just don't trust Kim English.
I think the backcourt is the biggest issue because I think Oswin, who I can't pronounce his last name for the life of me, so we're just going to call him Oswin, is going to be rock solid, but I just don't know what that backcourt is going to be able to bring.
I'm with you. I just keep coming back to you're almost at a coaching disadvantage night in and night out with Kim English going against guys like Rick Pitino, Dan Hurley, Greg McDermott, Shaka Smart, guys that have played in Final Fours, and a couple of them have won national championships. And now you got Ed Cooley, who's a really good coach at Georgetown. They're slowly emerging. I think Butler will be a little bit better too under Thad Matta. I keep coming back to Marquette. I know that they're young and Shaka doesn't use the portal as much, but I remember 2 years ago when everybody kind of thought that Marquette would finish, or 3 years ago when everybody was out on Marquette, it was a young group. They won the Big East regular season and the postseason championship. There's something about Shaka going back to his VCU days when nobody's banking on him or there's no hype coming in with big names. He overachieves with these guys with a chip on his shoulder. So I like Marquette to exceed expectations here, Greg.
Yep, and with Marquette, it is so interesting because in this day and age, they bring in nobody via the transfer portal. The one time that they did, they brought in Tyler Kolick, and we all remember how Kolick was able to pan out for them. That was a very, very good pickup, and it is interesting because last year, you knew that Cameron Jones was going to be that guy in the backcourt that was going to be able to lead things. They don't have as much of that this year, but in a day and age where there's so much roster turnover, these guys never have any of that.
That's why I kind of like banking on them. They just have a culture, dude. They believe in what they're doing. They're basically Michigan State now of the Big East. I know Izzo has used it a little bit more, but they believe in what they do, and they're going to stay true to it, and they're going to just be solid every year, I think, because of their culture and continuity.
Yep, it is a Marquette team that they do a nice job there. Maybe the upside isn't quite as great with them with other teams, but they have a lower floor. They have a higher floor as well. And how much do you want to bank on those teams? Perhaps a little bit more early during the season rather than late, because I do think that that's always a nice angle to be taking a look at this time of year, as so many teams are trying to gather chemistry, as so many teams are trying to figure each other out. While Marquette, they do lose quite a few pieces from the season ago. They know exactly what they've got, and these guys have played with each other for one another for many, many years.
I like back in the team's experience coming back. I keep going back to Florida, losing your whole backcourt that really were your horses for the national championship. So it's like, yeah, you're the defending national champs, but at the same time, you also replace so much. So I love back in the teams with a lot of continuity. And you got to look for those early in the year too, especially at the mid-major level. Those are the ones I feel like that pick off these high major opponents in bye games more often than not.
Yep, absolutely. As we do have Ryan McIntyre, who does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do think that this is a good stopping point for part number one of our conversation with Ryan. In the second part, I want to just get his thoughts on a few mid-major teams that he is going to be banking on them for what he had just mentioned in terms of being able to trust in the coach, being able to trust in the chemistry. We'll get some of the thoughts on teams that he's feeling bullish/bearish on, how he's taking a look at these last few days and getting prepared for the upcoming season. We'll be chatting about that with Ryan on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Eves Peterson, now a part of the BC Family Podcast. For anyone that is new to VSIN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSIN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSIN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter. And start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Just a friendly reminder that this podcast is now powered by Better. Right now, Better is making it easier to get in the game. That is BETR on Better. And when you utilize the promo code VSINPOD, VSINPOD, you'll get $10 free, no deposit required. Just sign up, make your picks, and you're ready for tip-off. Great to be rejoined by Ryan McIntyre. He does an absolutely excellent job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. For those that are fans of West Virginia Athletics, also does an amazing job with the Ryan and Rush Show. That is all dedicated to West Virginia Athletics. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at Moneyline_Mac, spelled M-A-C. And Ryan, we left off talking about chemistry and some of these teams that they just have been playing together with one another, trusting in the coach. And are there a few of those mid-major teams that you are going to be looking to buy in on for what you just talked about? They bring back a lot of guys. Maybe they're being slept upon a little bit. They weren't picked in their preseason poll, what have you, where they should have. And you just feel like there's going to be a little bit of upside with them. Perhaps it starts saying number one.
Yeah, so we did our futures episode last night, and three that I really, really liked. I love the Tommies and the Summit, and they're breaking in a new arena. Well coached, they have a system. I think that they're finally going to break through and make their first NCAA tournament. I love Furman and the SoCon, Bob Ritchie and company. I think they got a lot of experience coming back, and they actually get to play back on their home court after having to play downtown Greenville and lose their home court advantage. And then the third one that I think is going to be really good, I think Liberty has a chance to get to not only the NCAA tournament out of the CUSA, I think they have a chance to win a game or two with that returning production in the backcourt.
Yep, and with Liberty, I thought that they had a chance to be able to win a game in the NCAA tournament last year. Unfortunately, they got completely lambasted by Oregon. That was not great, to say the least. But I'm right there with you on that Liberty team. And how much is it in some of these cases that you just trust in the coach themselves? Because I'm right there with you on Furman. I think that they are clearly head and shoulders a team that should be able to win the SoCon. I am right there with you with Liberty. I picked them to be able to win Conference USA. I think that those teams have a lot of experience, but at the same time, I take a look at a conference like the Big Sky Conference, for example, where it feels like there's a lot of equals, and in a conference like that, I'm going to be banking on the coaching a lot more than anything else, just because when all things are equal, I think it does really trickle back to how well these teams are coached.
And you know me, Greg, coming from the coaching industry, I've just seen it so many times where teams that aren't even really that good, whether it's like at Michigan State or for other programs that just find a way to overachieve and squeeze everything out of it. Love banking on a coach that I just know has a high
floor. Syracuse in the NCAA tournament for a decade under Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, well, especially like when we get to the tournament, if you have a unique style that translates and you haven't seen that, those are definitely teams I like to back.
Oh my gosh, like every single year, Syracuse on the bubble for the NCAA tournament, a 10 seed to the second week of the NCAA tournament. So that speaks right to your point right there. And how much do you take a look at some of those coaches where sometimes with the expectations being high, they don't necessarily deliver? Like you just brought up Michigan State, and I think that they're a prime example of this. We have notice that when Michigan State is picked in like the top 5, top 10, oftentimes they actually don't live up to expectations. Meanwhile, if they're picked outside the top 15, top 20, it feels like they exceed those expectations every darn time.
Yeah, I mean, last year everybody thought they would suck. They won the Big Ten by 3 games. So, yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head who's the guy.
And then when they were in the top 5, they lost to James Madison to start the year.
It's hilarious. Shock is a guy like that. Shaka's teams, when nobody thinks they're going to be good, they're really good. I'm trying to think over in the Big 12.
I think Creighton is a good example of this, too.
Yes. I think Jamie Dixon is a good example of that as well at TCU. When everybody thinks they're going to suck, they usually pop up and pick teams off, especially with the older coaches, Greg. I think I'm gonna dive more into this after the show. The older coaches that kind of grind on you and wear you out, when they get a group for a year coming back, sometimes they tune them out a little bit and they kind of just underachieve with higher expectations, but they get a fresher group coming in here, new group, new voice, and they kind of just play for the coach. The guy that I had really in mind was Bob Huggins, who I worked for. Yes. I mean, when everybody said we were going to suck, we were really, really good. When we had expectations, we kind of just were the same when everybody thought we would suck. So it's those older grinder coaches that I think that applies to. When nobody thinks they're going to be good, it's a new group. They really overachieve, but then when you have high expectations, expectations, the message gets a little stale.
Yep, and I think that that's so well said by you, and I am so glad that you brought up TCU, because we have a mutual friend in Rocco Miller who it feels like he does a little bit of everything out there in college basketball. He's been talking up TCU a lot this year as well, and we both have talked about the Big East, or we both have talked about the Big 12 quite a bit, because you do the Ryan and Rush show that's dedicated all to West Virginia athletics, and I think a lot of people are picking TCU towards the middle slash bottom middle of the conference. And do you see a path for them being able to get into like that top six, top seven? Because the more I look at this TCU team, the more that I could see David Punch and company punching above their weight.
Yeah, I do. And they're old. They'll have an identity. And they're really good at home, Greg. That court is ugly as can be, the rubber court there in Fort Worth. But they find ways to win games. And that's the biggest thing in college basketball. If you have an identity, yeah, you're going to lose some games, but you're going to win more than you don't. And you're going to find a way to win 20 games. It's these teams that can't find their identity. And that's why I always just end up banking on the coaches for most of the time, is their teams are always going to have an identity. You know what you're getting. Yeah, you're going to have an off night or two, or it'll be a bad matchup. But most times you're not. When you know your identity, everybody's bought in and everybody's rowing the boat the same way.
Absolutely. And I do think that that is so key to be taking a look at, as Ryan McIntyre does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, is joining me on Cusco Soups. And Ryan, as we know, after this weekend, it is college basketball study for the next 7 months. You and Kobe have been doing a great job of getting things all set. You were just talking about it, a few teams that you were buying into with regards to their respective conferences. And I do want to throw this out here one last time before we get started for the season. Has there been a team or two that you've been researching the last few weeks? Maybe you've taken a look at their exhibition slash scrimmage results and you just feel a little bit differently about them now than you did a few weeks ago, whether that be to the positive or the negative.
You know, Greg, I've gone on record on our show of saying this, and I'll say it on your show. I'm picking Kansas to win the Big 12 and the national championship this year. And I know you like it. Peterson, I think, is a special talent, just like Cooper Flagg
Peterson
was.
Is a special talent. You are so right about that.
And back to what we were talking about, everybody's kind of written off Kansas because they got a bad taste in their mouth with that group that was preseason one the last 2 years with Hunter Dickinson. They won the national championship right before Dickinson got there. They won the Big 12 every year. I think it was more about that group than Bill Self. And Bill Self said Peterson is the most talented freshman he's ever coached. And I look back and I go, man, he's had some really, really good players. And I just like the way that the roster is constructed with more role veteran guys. And I think they complement each other way better than they have in the past. So I like Kansas coming into the year a lot with the chip on its shoulder. And nobody really on them. So, yeah, I picked Kansas over Purdue in my national championship with UConn. And who was the other team I had in there? Oh, Houston. So I had two Big 12 teams. I had a Big East team and I had a Big 10 team. No SEC this year.
Well, the only thing that I disagree with Bill Self on is that I am not a freshman. I have been around the block, but everything else was very, very accurate. But I'm right there with you. I do think that Kansas is going to be in for a rock solid year. I don't know if I can go quite as far as pick them to be able to win the national title, but I love the take. And I know you, Ryan, are doing such an incredible job getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. You and Kobe, your coverage of college basketball is second to none. You guys are going to be diving in just like myself every game, every day. You guys are some of the hardest workers out there. So love the good people at home. Know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Always appreciate it, Greg. Yeah, go check us out at The College Experience. I'm at Moneyline_Mac. And Greg, I can't wait to talk more ball throughout the year. I'm tired of talking portal addition subtraction. It's time to break down some real games, brother.
Yeah, this is the last time I have to do that on this podcast for about 5 months.
Thank God.
We are getting games back going on Monday. Ryan is going to be doing exactly what I'm doing, breaking down all these games, trying to find you guys some winners, and he and Kobe really do a second to none job. So big thanks to Ryan for joining me on Coast to Coast Soups, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you'll have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline. At GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And finally, After today, we are going to be getting picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. It starts tomorrow. The wait, it is finally over. I appreciate all of you guys that have been with me through the offseason, evaluating all these teams to get set for what I think is going to be the most profitable, most fun, and most amazing college basketball season ever. I'll be breaking down every single game, every single day on this podcast. No stone is going to go unturned, and it all starts tomorrow. So I appreciate you tuning in today, and the fun really begins tomorrow. Thank you.